Welcome to the August 10th, 2005 meeting of the Board of Directors of Oceana Community Services District. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill?
Here.
Vice President Mann?
Here.
Director Angela?
Here.
Director Bookout?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Please join me in the flag salute. I'd like to ask Chief Steinhauser to lead us tonight, if you would.
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to item three, board member items for discussion.
I have nothing.
Not this time.
I have nothing at this time either. Item four, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. We respectfully request presentations be limited to 3 minutes and should be for items that are not on the agenda at this time. Any items that are on the agenda, will you'll be able to speak to those at the time that they are appear on the agenda. So with that, is there any member of the public that would like to address the board? Okay, hearing none. Brings us to item five, review and approval of the minutes. We have three items to approve. July 21, 2005, special meeting, July 22 special meeting, and the July 27th regular board meeting.
There is one correction on the July 27th meeting on page 4, item 6A. Betty Carey's name is spelled C-A-R-Y, not C-A-R-Y.
So noted.
I would move that we approve the minutes of July 21st, 22nd, and 27th as corrected.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Is there any public comment on these minutes? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Item six, reports by Commander Basti of the Sheriff's Station. Welcome, Commander.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, members of the board, staff, public, and distinguished fellow public safety officers in the back. On the criminal front, there's not a whole lot going on, thank goodness, for the summer. We got past the holidays, et cetera. And the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with a fair contract. We provide law enforcement for the fair up in Paso Robles, as well as our Lopez contracts. We're fulfilling those and getting them done. We have our second sergeant back from extended medical leave, so staff is getting back up. And lastly, the board approved our funding for the rural crimes, so we reappointed Deputy Mike Martin. He'll start September 1st, a 10-month funded position, and there'll be three rural crime deputies, one for our south station, one for coast, and one for north. So that was an augmentation in the budget this year. Other than that, things are pretty status quo. Is there any questions, problems, issues, or anything you want to address?
Do you have a comment for that? Is there any comments or questions from the public for the commander?
I think you guys did a great job.
Thank you very much. We certainly tried for it.
We think so, too.
Okay, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank
Appreciate
you very much.
You.
Item 7, reports of the district department heads. We have three to consider. Are there any questions from the board on those reports? Comments? Any questions or comments from the public on the reports? And hearing none, with the approval of my colleagues, I'd ask for them to be received and filed, please. Brings us to item 8, fire items. I'm pleased to announce that we have a swearing in of our new fire department hires, and with that, I'd like to turn it over.
Captain Brian Leathers, Engineer Philip Copeland, and Engineer Craig Angelo. Raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Philip Copeland.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations.
That's the first time we've had the opportunity to swear in full-time firefighters in Oceana, so Chief, you carried that off very well. Okay. Brings us to item 8. Consideration of a district ordinance establishing a fire department capital facilities charge. The general manager has requested guidance from the board on how to proceed with this item. Mitch, do you want to comment on that?
Yes, the county is, that's the progress I can report to date. They're as anxious to get this moving as we are, of course, because they have public facility fees for parks, governmental buildings, sheriff's patrol, and other libraries that are not being collected at this time. So, they'd like to get this thing back on track also. So, it's a policy decision of the board. If the board would like to have staff with the aid of our legal counsel put together an ordinance that would serve us in the interim, we could do that, or we could just continue to monitor it. What I've done is I've done a little arithmetic. Averaging, we gained $1,201 per month since the inception of the ordinance, but I arithmetically weighted the years, and based on that, the past 12 months, we are collecting about $2,243 per month. So we're foregoing approximately $2,300 a month in revenue without a public facility fees ordinance in operation. However, on the other side, if we put our own ordinance in place and start collecting the money, if we do have a protest, it'll probably easily cost us that kind of money to defend any kind of protest, because if a developer comes in and protests, then we've got to defend the action that we're taking and why we're collecting it, and we'll certainly have legal fees involved in that kind of a process. So it's just not all one way. The county takes over the ordinance, does the ordinance, of course. There's a protest. They do it. We don't have any. Only thing we have to do if it's a county ordinance is on an annual basis prepare a statement as to monies that were collected or given to us and how we are anticipating or have spent them. That's the extent of our responsibility under a county ordinance.
And once again, the state, I mean, the county's going to be on board, you think, by September?
Well, that's where they're shooting for right now. I mean, they're...
September? Yeah. Pardon? September, did you say?
Well, they're going to take us to the board, their board of, our board of supervisors in September, late September, early October, hopefully have it in place and operational by December. That's what they're shooting for at this time. They hope to have it in place by October, operational by October, but they ran into a some kind of a data gathering.
And how those fees are ultimately going to get spent when the money gets gathered up. And you're well behind the county in terms of all that data collection. So if you decided to try and adopt an interim ordinance and really do it right, it could take you 6 months to a year to do it. Now, if the county delays long enough, it might ultimately, with 2020 hindsight, turn out that you would get your ordinance adopted before they do. But if the county holds reasonably true to the schedule that they provided to the general manager, I don't think there's any way you could reasonably expect to have a legitimate ordinance in place before the county does. It would be very difficult to do. I guess I shouldn't say it's impossible, but it would be very difficult to do.
Well, I guess I just feel some degree of frustration that the county's had the problems that they've had, and as a result, we're in this kind of limbo, but I appreciate your contacting them and keeping us appraised of their progress. Anyone else have?
It sounds like it's not going to be practical to do our own ordinance at this time.
Yeah, it does not sound practical at all. It's a shame, though, that the county wasn't more in line with us before this. There's probably a lot of money being wasted out there.
Well, I think we'd end up wasting a lot of money on time and energy and staff if we were to try to go forward and put something together ourselves, too. Yeah.
I would just like to perhaps follow the recommended action from staff to continue to monitor it, and when it becomes available, go to the county.
That sounds to me like the most reasonable course of action if everyone else agrees.
I think to follow up a little bit on what the legal counsel said, if we get the ordinance from the county and we find that there's a problem with it or something, I'm sure the county will share their data and their methodology as far as determining what that is, you know, what the justification for the numbers are. And if at that time we find that it's in our best interest to do our own ordinance, I think we should do that. But right now we have nothing to compare and contrast it with. And since they are dealing with a consultant whose only function in life is to defend governmental agencies against protest hearings and to create ordinances of this effect, I think the ordinance that's going to be created is going to be pretty good. I mean, it should be, just based on...
Let's move on to item 9. Sure. Yes, Chief, please. Thank you very much. Utility item 9A is cleaning and inspection of district water and sewer lines. This is a continual disclosure of the emergency that the board declared a year and a half ago following the earthquake, where we had damage to sewer and water lines in the district. And we are required, while this is an ongoing issue, to declare the emergency to be continued at each of our regular meetings. So with that, is there any board discussion?
I was going to ask, is there any other lines other than Juanita Street and McCarthy Street that this pertains to?
The wet well, we're still dealing with the wet well.
The Keys contract.
Pardon?
Keys contract.
Oh, yeah, the Keys contract.
Where's that at? In Honolulu. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, do you know if those... Fountain and Honolulu involve repaving the streets as part of the remediation?
There are places on both streets where the road...
potentially it is, I'm not sure.
Okay. And I know that would be a county responsibility, basically. I was curious because some residents have asked me about that.
The only streets I know that we're going to get totally repaved, totally fixed, 100%, is going to be McCarthy, Juanita, and Strand. Going in partnership with the county, and we're taking the money that we would that we would normally put into a contract for the contractor to repair the street. We're going to give that to the county. They're going to match it with whatever money it takes to totally fix the street. So it's not going to be just patched. It's going to be totally repaired.
Sounds like the elegant solution. Is there any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none, I'd look for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Financial statements for June 30th, the preliminary report for the 12 months that are ending, the revenues having $2,656,870, and expenditures were $3,016,330. However, we have added back $519,000 to the expenses because that was the money that paid for projects and fixed assets from restricted reserve. So it's not new money being used. That puts us $159,720 in excess of revenues over expenditures at the end of the 12-month period.
And that presumably would then return to reserves. Okay. So the item, I believe, is to approve the report. And is there any comment on this report from the public? Hearing none, any other comments or questions? All in favor of approving?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item would be the quarterly investment report for the period ended June 30th, 2005.
There is one correction. The last, it says total fund balance on deposit, that should be 6/30/2005 rather than 3/31/2005. As you can see, the interest rates are increasing a little bit. We're into the high to mid twos now, but it was 1 point something before. So we're
going to be rich.
Yeah, they're moving in the right direction. And as you can see, we're in good financial condition as far as our cash position goes. As far as our cash, our quarterly interest that we gained was $14,410.71, and we have $2,297,512 on deposit in the various accounts.
Any questions or comments from the board? Questions or comments from the public on this? I think photocopies of public records that covers direct cost of duplication. The district currently charges 25 cents per page for photocopy work. We've collected some information from surrounding jurisdictions for comparison, the copy charges that other local agencies charge for information. We'd like to give direction to staff about what we think a reasonable charge for photocopying would be. Are there questions or comments from the board to start with?
Yeah, do we have we charge now for
25 cents.
For just like Roy Granny.
Right, yes. Yes.
It seems like these things are all pretty comparable. It just depends on if you're going to get more copies or less copies or whatever. Why is this really even, why did it even come to us? What?
There was a question as to if 25 cents was excessive.
One of the reasons it came up is I note that a couple of the jurisdictions here, Grover Beach, for example, charges 11 cents per page. Lesosos charges 10 cents per page. And it's come to my attention that you can go down to the local copy shop that does this for profit, and they'll make copies for you for about 8.5 cents a page. So it seemed to me that 25 cents per page was somewhat restrictive in terms of residents having to pay for copy fees. So I wanted to come to the board and see what the guidance was that we wanted to give the staff to see if our copy fees are reasonable under the circumstances.
You take, we're just like a Roy Granny, you take the pomo, depends on how many copies a person needed to have made, would vary, you know, on how much they would be charged, because it's, if you only want one piece of paper copied, it'd be, you know, four times, five times as much, but and then, you know, it's got a smaller per page number after the first one. And that, you know, 25 cents seems to be in line, as far as I can tell.
Just Alex, if I might ask a point of clarification, am I correct in understanding that the
fee you could charge for whatever 7 minutes is as a proportion of the person's salary, but you cannot charge for other research that might be involved in trying to determine where the appropriate document is stored and which documents are the appropriate documents, such as might happen in a Public Records Act request where it requires a little bit more analysis. We're talking about go and pull the document from the file, make the copy. So there is some personnel cost in there, which maybe makes the comparison to Kinko's not quite apropos. But the as a general rule, personnel costs you can vary in are relatively minor.
What about your wear and tear on your machine? I know there's a cost for.
Well, certainly,
certainly
that there is, and most of the photocopier companies can provide you with whatever that cost is. Typically, it runs a few cents a page, maybe as much as 4 cents a page on older copiers.
And then your paper costs.
But well, most of the companies will vary that all into one price.
But what I'm saying, all those take much of. You said you couldn't charge for record search, and yet I'm looking here at Cambria where record search is $25 plus 20 cents a page.
I don't counsel Cambria.
No, I'm just... Well, I mean, you made a statement that you can't do that, and I'm looking here seeing somebody else do. I'm not suggesting that we do that.
I know counsel for the Cambria Community Services District. He's a smart guy. I'm not sure how he justifies that. If the district wants to try and impose a higher fee, I certainly will call him. I have his number and see how he justifies it.
I did not suggest that at all.
I'm not suggesting that you did, but if that's the direction that the board wants to go in, then I'll certainly try and research it. I don't think it's justifiable.
I was just concerned that a number of our citizens may have difficulty paying 25 cents a page, and then I thought again that the people that do this for profit obviously have to maintain their machines and all of that, and pay for their paper and toner and whatever else is involved in making copies as well, and they're paying their staff to make the copies and can do it for even less than 10 cents. So it seemed to me that perhaps 10 cents a page would be more in line with again, charge 7.5 cents if you made it your own self, and 8.5 cents if their employee made the copy for you and they pulled the staples and collated it for me when I went in there.
So that was how, but that's on numerous copies or just one or two at a time?
Ultimately, it was 200 and some copies.
262.
So what are we, 25 cents?
Barbara knows the issue.
What are we, 25 cents a copy? I did not get that sheet in my packet, so what are we, 25 cents a copy? Shall I get my quarter out?
Yeah.
25 cents a copy regardless of the numbers?
I didn't.
but I will take its quarter.
So we're at 25 cents a copy, regardless of the number of copies?
Right.
Well, I think that if we would reduce it, we would could possibly maybe reduce it on larger quantities, but not on small quantities.
It should keep the same price per page.
Yeah, I just go with the same thing Aurora Grande has, as we've been, or I don't know.
I think on additional copies, we should probably go down, but on the initial copy, 25 cents is not bad. But if we're doing additional copies, 10, 15 more copies, maybe 15 cents. 20 cents is a little bit much, but that just firing up the copy machine for one copy, probably there's more wear on the copy machine for one than there is 10.
Well, with 262 pages, you'd have had a lot of fun counting to where your breakdowns were on that one.
I wonder if it might be worthwhile to consider where there's large documents being requested, and especially in the case that there's requests for several of the same copies of the same item, that we might consider taking those to a copy shop and getting perhaps even a lower rate than 10 cents a page. Might ultimately be an economy to be achieved there.
Sending staff from here to go to the out to do something like that when they can't get done what they've got to do here now?
There would be an economy as far as copies go, but...
not for staff time. The expense had a lot more staff time than that.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? Public comment, Karen?
Yeah, Karen White, Halcyon. I just wanted to point out that San Luis Obispo County charges 10 cents, and they're very willing to do a lot of research and looking up things and accommodating you at no charge. And they copy them and have them waiting for you.
Thank you very much.
We, I would think that, you know, there's something on volume. But I don't know about, you know, one or two copies. I guess that doesn't really make much difference. We're really arguing over or discussing small amounts here.
Well, my concern was that, you know, 25 cents a page on the document that Barbara knows about, the difference was from $70 at 25 cents a page down to under $25 at 10 cents a page.
Yeah, volume would be, I would think that if there's a large number of documents, that might be more appropriate.
Other public comment on this item? Peggy?
Thank you. Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I favor the 10 cents a copy fee. I also question whether you can charge differing amounts for different copies, different numbers of copies. My understanding is that you need to set an amount and charge that. I also question whether you can actually include the cost of staff time in that. It's been a while since I read these codes, but it seems to me the last analysis I read said that staff time was being paid for, whether they were standing there making copies for you or whether they were running the adding machine. It's a cost of doing business. Also, I would also question whether electronic copies can be charged for in the same way. It seems to me the last time I read the codes, faxed copies and so forth were not to be charged for in the same way. I see Director Dahl nodding his head. So I feel that the 10 cents a copy rate would be a fairer rate for people. I would strongly urge that be what you all adopt here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is staff time chargeable or not?
I'm sorry, say
is
again?
Staff time chargeable? Staff time.
Just to give you kind of a wild example, if Ms. Wilson came in and submitted a public records request for a whole long raft of documents and the general manager spent some time and asked me to spend some time analyzing whether she even had the right to those documents. Then we decide, okay, these five she is entitled to and these three she's not entitled to. We could not backcharge her for our time. That's clearly an indirect cost. But the direct cost of going and getting the specific document from the file and making the copy, that's generally included in the 25 cents a page, 20 cents a page, whatever it might be. Basically, it's the time to have a copy.
Mm-hmm. Other public comment on this issue? Pamela?
Pamela Dean, Oceano. President Hill and members of the OCSD board. I wanted to speak on this copy cost, and according to the First Amendment Coalition website, copy costs are limited to statutory fees set by the legislature, not by local ordinance, or the direct cost, as council was speaking, of duplication, usually 10 to 25 cents per page. And it appears that staff spent valuable time compiling a table of copy costs that other OCSD users use, when its effort should have been made maybe in actually figuring out the printing costs that you have here. I have attached for the board an internet source for costs associated with business-grade copiers. The average cost per copy is 1 to 3 cents, and that includes the paper and the toner. And they can usually give you an overview for your own particular copier. So I would suggest that determination of actual costs be made before having the board make a decision about these and come in with the facts in hand. These also, the copying costs go hand in hand with public records requests of citizens, and highly overstated charges contribute to citizens' perceptions that the governmental agency is making access to public records difficult and expensive. Thank you, members of the board, and I'll pass this out to you so you can see what you can find out there.
Thank you for the comment. Other public comment on this item? By adopting as low as possible a charge to make records available, and it should be, in my opinion, our goal to have the process as open and available to the public as possible. And I think that reducing the cost commensurately would be an advantage to the public in this item. So is there any other comment or question from other board members? Hearing none, I guess I would look for a motion how we want to proceed with this.
I'll make a motion to lower our cost of copying down to, I initially had said 25 cents for the first page. Maybe that's looking at Los Osos and Grover Beach here. They have 11 cents and 10 cents. And I don't really see much, make it 12 cents or 10 per page.
Well, would you like to go with 12 or 10 cents?
Let's be fair, let's go 10.
Okay, it's been moved that we adopt a per-page copy charge of 10 cents per page for Public Records Act copies. Is there a second? I would exercise my authority to pass the gavel to the Vice President for the purpose of seconding the motion. So having done that, I will second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to reduce the price of our copies to 10 cents, was that it?
10 cents.
10 cents per page.
If I could just...
Can I bring that back for discussion? I remember it's been a while since I've done this.
One of the things that we're working on, and hopefully we're pretty close to doing, is we are going to have our website complete, up to date with the minutes, the agendas, the
resolutions, the ordinances, everything will be on there. And that will be accessible to anyone with a computer without cost. And that's one of the things we're working on. And it'll certainly help us because when we start duplicating these agendas, I mean, it's a half a day process to do this. And if we can eliminate some of that by people being able to just utilize their computer at home.
Now, people are not charged for the agendas, are they?
No, not now.
No. Okay. Because the other alternative is to have a little study and figure out what our costs are. You know, what is the cost to get one or two pages, 10 pages, 15 pages, 100 pages?
Well, see, the one of the things that depends upon what's requested, in 1999, and I need the backup for that. Well, that we're going to have to go into our storage area, get the box out, and get that. So.
I would think that a study, if that's the way we would go, if we're going to get that picky on this, that it would assume that the records are here, because any records that may be stored someplace else would not be the fault of the person requesting the records request. So
say,
you assume that.
Sorry, say that again, Vern.
I would think that if we're going to study how, if we're going to go through the problem of doing a quick little study, if management would do that, that the study should assume that the records are right here in the office, because the fact that the records may be over in storage is not the the fault of the person requesting the record. That's just because we don't have enough storage here. So so I think a study, if that's going to be the case, a study should reflect, the assumption that the records are all here, and just it just matters, makes a, just has to go over to a file cabinet, pull it up, and make the photocopy. And figure out, it should be real easy to figure out.
Any other?
If that's, otherwise, I mean,
any other board comment before I make my comment?
Yeah. I'd have to say I really strongly agree with what Vern just said. We should assume that our records are here on site.
Okay. You guys have all had your say. My say is I don't have a bit of a problem for somebody coming in and wanting us to give the, to do a copy for something that we generated. It annoys me to be requested for paper that was given us to us by another agency when that agency would have their papers, and that's where those copies should be found. That's just the way I personally feel. But now, we have a motion on the floor to reduce the cost to 10 cents per copy. Do I have to have a roll call on this one?
You can do, because we're going to, whatever you decide, this direction right now, we'll have to bring back a resolution next week.
Oh, so. Okay.
You can do it by voice vote.
Okay.
Unless it gets so convoluted that you want to do it.
All those in favor in directing staff to bring this back to us next week at 10 cents a copy, is that right? Please say yes.
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 Motion carries.
Any opposed?
Opposed. Motion carries.
Okay.
It only takes three in here.
But I still have to say if it's 3-2 or
4-1.
Who it is? I attended the Finance Committee meeting on July 18th and August 8th with Vice President Mann. And some of the topics that were discussed include upcoming water rate increases, probably that are going to be necessary due to the Lopez Dam earthquake retrofit and water treatment plant upgrades there that are over budget on the water treatment plant by something like $2.5 million in round numbers, and the project is already several million dollars more than it was expected to be from the inception. So I'll let Vice President Mann make any other comments on that.
You covered that, but I did happen to get a copy of Grover Beach's new water rates. Theirs went up for 26 units, I believe 18.5%. So that was quite a bit larger percent than we were looking at. I forgot those sheets. They came in the water bills. We did discuss it, did direct staff to come back with some more information for us on that.
Okay. been trying to keep abreast of the Zone 11A issues. There is a task force meeting coming up for that. The current status of Zone 11A is that we're looking to continue to find a viable organization that can take over maintenance of the creek and also support what would be a necessary Prop 218 vote to achieve sustainable funding for maintaining the creek. In the interim this year, the county, through the efforts of Supervisor Ashajian, has appropriated some funds for creek maintenance, and we should be seeing some efforts to clean up areas of the creek starting probably this month. But the work continues to develop a Prop 218 election. And for just for people who've not followed this previously, it'll be necessary to approve some. The county for a number of years has not collected enough money to actually maintain the creek, and therefore the maintenance effectively stopped on the creek. There is cost to be incurred. We would, I think the Zone 11A committee would endorse local residents approving a tax increase under Prop 218 when it goes to an election, other than the state taking over with their costs. So that's pretty much the immediate status of Zone 11A. Barbara, did you have any?
I'll just kind of chime in on that a little bit. Right now, the money that the county found, the county is now using that to clean the creek. They've taken that and they will be doing the maintenance with whatever dollars those were. They weren't great dollars, but the dollars that Supervisor Sargent came up with, the county will be, they're the ones who are going to quote, it's their money and they'll do the job. And I think their assessment stayed at $5 for this year, this tax year, I believe. Sand District. We've had two meetings that I haven't talked about. The majority of the time was in closed session, and those regarding possible litigation, and no action was taken. Then the other, we had the Mr. Jinx, is that the name of his name? That designed the sewer plant to start with? Jinx? Yeah. He was there time before last to give us the history of the Sand District and talking about all these neat things that they did, and that was just like, I didn't have a clue what the man was saying, but everybody sat there and nodded, and I don't think anybody else had a clue either, but no, so he talked about that. Then the big deal this last time is we approved $6,405.62 to buy two new thermal mass flow meters from Sierra Instruments. This is coming out of the major budget item number 18, which was for $15,000 to take care of the methane gas totalizers. They had three bids. They took the lowest bid, and then they're currently looking for quotes from an electrical.
We've opted to do it for several months, so fire chief and general manager had that weed abatement started yesterday. And we talked a little bit about the coordination study that Pismo's doing on the three cities in our district. Apparently, they met with the people who are doing this study and had a two-hour meeting with them. And they give our staff 8 pages of questions that to answer and get back to them with. And that was about it, I believe.
That was the meeting with City Gate?
Yeah, that's the meeting.
I may have some comments on that, which I'll probably reserve to item item 13. It's not really specifically a fire committee comment.
On 7/18, I attended the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee meeting, and Casey O'Connor came, showed up there. He's got some new development here in Oceano over on, I believe it's the avocado farm, avocado orchard, and they're starting a large track over there along with Bell Ridge over here. A lot of new growth going on in Oceano. The future of Oceano's changing, and we're going to see a lot more growth take place in Oceano. On the fire, I attended 7/26. There was something of interest. I believe it's this meeting we talked about our fire chief, possible some code enforcement and some training that the fire chief might have to take, additional training if we do proceed with code enforcement. And I see some benefits, you know, for us in the future of the chief obtaining additional training in this line of code enforcement. Going through an alleyway and recognizing a problem like a trailer that's illegally placed in an alleyway. We had a trailer fire several years ago which killed a little girl, I believe. We need to make sure that our fire department can get to situations properly without debris in the way. And code enforcement on this would be
from access, and it would be, I understand that we've had concerns with the potential for having to have someone go down to court, for example, to pursue pressing charges against whoever might be responsible for some of these things. But now, considering that we have full-time paid staff on the fire department, that it might be something we might want to relook at, where we're not just relying on volunteers from the department, that perhaps some of the fire officers, the chief certainly, and or the captains perhaps could be given enforcement authority and might be able to alleviate some of these long-standing problems that we've had in Oceano with flammable material and trash and discarded rubbish clogging up the works. So I support your position there.
It's a good move. There's a couple alleyways I've drove my big truck down. I couldn't get my big truck, which is equivalent to a fire truck as far as width and size. And I couldn't get my truck down in some of the alleyways. So if I can't get my truck down there, I don't see a fire truck being able to get down the alleyway. There's couch, TV, weeds. It's something we really need to look at enforcing.
Is the sheriff's department able to enforce those things?
Someone dumps something in the alley, like you know, it has nothing to do with one of our jurisdictions, like, you know, basically trash. You know, I mean, like a couch or something like that. We try to contact the property owner that is adjacent to it. Usually, they, you know, the argument is, well, I didn't put it there. You know, and we, you know, have to deal with it. And that's when we try to get the refuge company to pick it up for us. You know, it's not an immediate situation. You know, we can get, I guess, a little tougher on that if we want to, and, you know, actually charge these, you know. If someone dumps something, you know, in an alley behind your house, you know, I certainly have some empathy for that person because, you know, they, you know, may not be theirs, you know. And just because they were randomly selected to be the dumpee, you know, going after them isn't always fair either.
They've been abused once and then they get abused again.
Yeah. I noticed one of our alleyways, someone's planted a vegetable garden about halfway out in the middle of the alleyway.
Those items, like what Director Bookout is speaking of right now, is turned over to code enforcement, because if it's an illegal dwelling, they're the people who need to deal with illegal dwellings. And sometimes they just tell us that, you know, they're not going to take any action on a particular thing we turn over to them.
And another item that I've seen occasionally is backyard burns and things like that going on that, that I believe is a violation of ordinances that our department could perhaps enforce to advantage.
I'm sorry.
I say another thing that I've observed going on occasionally is backyard burns and that kind of thing that perhaps our department could enforce to advantage. I don't know, maybe maybe staff might consider looking again at the question of the viability of some enforcement authority for our fire department, especially now considering that we do have full-time staff that might be that might change the way we looked at it in the past.
You know, we did talk a little bit about that last night at the fire committee meeting too, and if I understand it correctly, we would have to either contract with the DA to prosecute these, you know, the tickets, or we'd have to hire our attorney or Ann and some attorney to do the prosecution. And I don't know how feasible, you know, financially feasible that is. I'm sure that there's a, for a backyard burn, there's probably a certain number of fine, $100, $200, whatever it might be. But if we spend $2,000 to prosecute a $200 fine, it doesn't make sense.
Is the sheriff able to enforce that?
Backyard burns are our responsibility. That's a fire issue.
Well, yeah, but it's still a violation of, is it a violation of our ordinance or a violation of the county ordinance?
Violation of the Air Pollution Control District.
Okay, well then there should be some law enforcement agency that enforces their laws.
If they have a fire and the house catches on fire.
Prosecution authority on a particular infraction, and Mike might be able to speak particularly to the fire issue. But what usually happens on most less serious type of code infractions is whoever the code enforcement officer spends significantly more time and effort and money and personnel costs than you would ever recover on a fine to try and cajole, coax, threaten, do whatever really needs to be done to get compliance with the law. It's only the very hardcore cases that ever get sent to the prosecuting authority. In some jurisdictions, they'll contract with the district attorney's office to do it, but that tends to get fairly expensive. In other jurisdictions, they'll have the city attorney or the district council act as the prosecuting authority. And again, once it reaches them, they'll usually try and go through a series of two or three letters and personal contact to see if they can't get it resolved, short of actually filing a criminal case. But every once in a while, you run into somebody who just doesn't want to play by the rules that everybody else is supposed to play by, or who maybe legitimately thinks, you know, they didn't do it. And then you get caught up in having to file a criminal prosecution and having whoever's contracted to do that do it. And Director Angelo is right. These things never pencil out in comparison to the fine that's involved. It's about trying to make sure you get consistent enforcement of your ordinances so you prevent problems growing out of control so that you've constantly got whatever the problem is, whether it's a zoning violation, which this district's not concerned with, or problems in the alleys, or whatever it might be.
So any monies that would be spend on code enforcement would come out of the fire department budget then, would it?
If it was fire related, if it was trash related, come out of the trash.
And trash wouldn't have the money to do it.
I can speak to the backyard burning specifically.
I recently completed a study of the code sections that are related to that, and use the Uniform Fire Code and the California Code of Regulations and also the Health and Safety Code all have sections regarding recreational fires as well as backyard burning and what is allowable to be burned. basically what we deal with is we're usually getting called for situations involving a smoke check or something like that, or a neighbor's complained about smoke blowing in their direction, etc. And then, of course, we get the call about the house may be on fire. So we never know for sure what we're responding to until we get there. We just had a call 3 or 4 days ago of a possible structure fire. It turned out to be a rather large barbecue in the backyard. So I prepared a report for the officers to refer to, and it outlined the different code sections and how they intermingle with each other. And our solution now is that we track we get the people to comply by alerting them that they're not allowed to burn certain things. We hopefully get them to keep it a certain distance from any other flammable structures or fences, for instance. Big trees, that sort of thing. So most backyards, you have to be, the Uniform Fire Code calls for 25 feet. Most backyards aren't that big in Oceano, but some of them, of course, are, but still. And the number of items is a long, long list of items in the California Code of Regulations of the things you can't burn. So and it kind of leads you to, charcoal or firewood. So, and then of course we also always get the person that says, "Well, we're getting ready to cook," and they're burning, painted lumber and things like that. So it's like we try to do what we can to get people to comply. If they want to cook their steak on painted lumber, well, we tell them you can't burn that, and because that's a violation right there. So what we do is we try to get voluntary compliance. And then if they don't, and we just come in with our hose and put the fire out. And then the other thing we do is we track frequent flyers. If we get repeatedly go back to the same address over and over again, and that would be maybe like 3 times, and then we'll turn them over to air pollution control, and they'll come and issue a citation for air pollution, not for burning. Mm-hmm.
I think
actually, we're in the midst of considering the issue. So we haven't. Mike had a meeting scheduled for today, which was canceled because the person he was meeting with was not available, and they have rescheduled it. But we're in the midst of putting something together concerning this.
Good. Okay.
Does county code enforcement come down here? Have they been to any of our meetings?
That was who the meeting was scheduled with this afternoon. Unfortunately, Carrie was unavailable, and we're rescheduling for next week. So, we're going to try and touch base on the burning issues and also the illegal inhabitants, things like that. So,
is there a possibility of getting them to come, code enforcement to come in so we could ask them some questions?
I can ask her to.
I think she goes quarterly to Oceana Housing, or is supposed to.
I haven't seen a person once.
I still can request that.
We might want to make a request, have the general manager issue an invitation or a request, rather than leave that on...
That would be good.
...on Mike to have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Public comment on this item or any other of the director's reports?
Lon Mikowski, Oceana. Thank you. I'd like to weigh in on this. I would strongly encourage if there's any possibility that a little bit more teeth could be put into enforcing the laws that are on the books now. And I would refer back about 4 or 5 months ago. We had Chief Steinhauser come out to a house a few doors down from ours. We had been calling him almost every evening throughout a week or two. And what was going on, what we found out later, was that the people basically dismantled a trailer and burned it in their backyard. The smoke was very toxic. It filled up everybody's homes. That's when we would call the chief, and he came over several times, told them it couldn't be burning in the backyard. Well, it didn't do any good. They ended up burning the whole trailer anyway. So it's about quality of life in a neighborhood. And when you've got toxic smoke filling up your house, you have no quality of life. So I would strongly encourage.
Certainly, he told the story well of the folks that we had living near us who burned toxic materials. I think as a medical professional, the chief is in a position to probably support anyone who would say that breathing toxic smoke is a very, very potentially life-altering experience. And so even though I understand the cost involved in giving these guys the enforcement responsibilities that we're discussing here, that is truly a wise and good use, I think, of district resources. That's truly serving and protecting the public, and I, for one, will be very grateful, because exposure to that kind of stuff can lead to problems later in life, and so I very much support giving the chief some tools to work with here, not just for this, but for other enforcement needs as well, as I've spoken to you recently about illegal fireworks and so forth. You've heard me talk to you about garbage in our streets, and I've heard you all talk about those enforcement powers here tonight. I think it would go far toward helping us have a better community. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm quite sensitive to the concerns for toxic smoke that might be generated from illegal burns. One other thing that I might ask the staff to consider is the sufficiency of fines for burning toxic material such as that. In other words, if the fines aren't adequate to cover the district's costs of enforcement, that might be something that we could look into raising the fines to further discourage people from illegal activity of that nature.
Okay, I'd have to ask, we'd have to consult with council to see if we have authority to establish those kind of
fines. I understand.
Those may be statutory in nature. I'm not sure.
You'll find that there's some that we do have the power to set. Some are set by state statutes. Others are set by the Uniform Fire Code, so we may have to take a look at whether we want to vary from what the code says. Sort of thing. So you really have to look at the whole panoply of different kinds of fines that might be out there.
I understand. Another reason I'd like to request that our professionals might weigh in on that subject.
You'll indulge me and allow me to thank you all and commend you all for the action that you took on item 10C, changing. Giving staff direction to come back with a change in the fee for copying. That is a good public service, and I thank you for it, and I commend you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none brings us to board member items for discussion.
I don't have anything at this time.
No.
Okay, I had a couple of items which related a bit to the fire committee, but not specifically. And that those two things are, again, weed abatement of the railroad property. And what is the status right now? I understand that this property was abated last year, and there was a charge issued to the railroad. Has the full charge ever been assessed to the railroad?
Yes, it's been assessed, but not the second part has not been paid.
Second part has not been paid. Can we take some action to
we just put it on the tax roll. I mean, that's all we do.
It's okay, but it has actually been billed to them, okay. The coordination study with that's being, I guess, sponsored by Pismo Beach. I understand that there was an 8-page questionnaire that was sent out by the consultant, which I think is called CityGate. And our response to that was minimal to nothing, if I understand correctly. I believe that we did have an interview with City Gates consultant this past week that was a couple of hours long, and I don't know precisely what the depth of that was, but there was also a meeting held in Pismo Beach among the various jurisdictions, and the chiefs from the other jurisdictions attended, many of the city managers from the other jurisdictions attended, and I've heard this meeting referred to as possibly a social meeting, but I understand also that there was some business issues discussed there, and I was dismayed to hear that Oceano had no attendance in that. And this causes me some great concern to proceed to do that. Part of my concern goes back to the, I've heard the charge that, well, once upon a time, Oceano had a great relationship with Grover Beach, and we had a 12-on, 12-off relationship, and the point of fact is that that did work very well while it was in place. But I also have to say that I'm aware of, before that agreement was ended, the city of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande and Pismo Beach, as well as Oceano, were contacted by the fire chief in Grover Beach at the time, who was a gentleman by the name of Doug Hamm. And he personally brought an invitation to Oceano to take part in coordination efforts and resource sharing efforts. And they had asked us, you guys in Oceano, what would a perfect world look like from your viewpoint? And regrettably, I have to say that we never even replied to that. And lacking any response from Oceano, Grover Beach decided to just join forces with Arroyo Grande, and here we are today. So I'm concerned that the message that is apparently being sent to our fellow jurisdictions is that Oceano has no interest in coordinating and sharing resources of the fire department, and this concerns me greatly. So I just want to say that for the record. I'll entertain any other further comments, but I'm very discouraged that Oceano was conspicuously absent from that coordination meeting.
Maybe we should hear from the fire chief why we weren't there and what kind of conversations he had with the Cityscape people before that. And, you know, let's hear his side of the story, not just what we hear from somebody else.
Well, before we go there, the scenario that you just talked about with the Doug Hamm, I have no knowledge of that happening. Mike has no knowledge of that happening. Am I correct?
And
Mitch has no, you know. And I've heard that story two or three times, and or four, five times. How many times I heard it, but nothing like that ever really came before the board. Doug Hamm did come to my place of business and ask me if there was anything that he could do to make things better between Grover and Oceano. I says, I think everything's working fine. And I think everybody's happy. And that was that. As far as I...
Here's where the budgets. I didn't know if they... But that's the question. And, I mean, that's how the question was phrased. We want 3 years worth of budgets. I didn't know if they wanted 3 years worth of fire budget or 3 years worth of budgets. You know, and so we asked them that. Yeah, obviously, to copy the entire budget is a whole lot of work. You don't need to do it, and if they don't want it. So we asked them these questions. This was just last week. It wasn't, you know, months ago that we've kind of blown them off. Mike has prepared a very comprehensive list of answers to their questions that they gave us in this eight-page documentation. As far as the attendance at the meeting on Thursday, it was prearranged that we were not going to be there with them. They knew that. They said it wasn't necessary. It wasn't important that we be there. It was sort of a kickoff meeting. They held their meeting with us before that time. And I also believe that as far as this coordination and cooperation study goes, I have an exceptional working relationship with Kevin Rice, who's the city manager of the city of Pismo Beach, and with Steve Adams, who's the city manager of the city of Arroyo Grande. And
I have been and will be consulted on a series of issues, just as I will consult with them on a series of issues, and I will assure you that Oceano's place at the table in this coordination study is assured, and that we will receive full consideration from those city managers, because I think the working relationship is exceptional, and not only on the fire level, but on water, on sewer, on everything else we deal with, we make sure that each one of us is fully apprised of what is happening, and ensure that the other one is consulted on those issues. I have no doubt that being absent from a single meeting is going to be detrimental to this process. I do not believe that to be the case.
Well, I'm personally reassured by your statement, and again, I'd like to just encourage as much cooperation as we can among the several jurisdictions to share resources, reduce costs for our citizens as much as we possibly can by sharing resources and whatever other mutually beneficial arrangements we might have beyond the mutual aid and automatic aid agreements that are already in
place. Is assured, and that we will have a full hearing on whatever is considered. Mike, you want to add anything to that?
Sure. I just echo what Mitch just said, and assure you that we are involved in this process. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend that meeting due to prior commitments that I always have on Thursdays and Fridays every other Monday. I find it difficult to justify leaving my other job to attend a two-hour meeting when I was only when did they notify us of this was late in July for, you know, I think it was July 27th that they notified us. That was the first time that we were contacted by CityGate. They wanted this 8-page questionnaire and document to them, completed with all the copies of the budgets, et cetera, that were included in that by the 1st of August. And as you know, the office staff has been very tight with and not as many people in the front office right now, and we're doing the best we can. We gave them the information in person when they were here on the 3rd, and I was happy that they were able to accommodate us with that.
Okay, well, again, I appreciate your report. I'm acutely sensitive to the shortage in office staff, and I commend our staff for carrying on in trying circumstances. I'm glad to see that we're doing that. Certainly, my purpose here is not to blame anybody or anything. I personally wasn't at that meeting either, and that was because of my job requires that. So I understand that there's occasions when meetings have to be missed. But I did want to make sure that we do participate as much as we can to share resources and to encourage that ongoing effort. And certainly I'm also sensitive to the fact that if a blanket request for information comes in, that you would request clarification before sending 50 pages of documentation when what they really wanted was one page. So clarification and asking questions is always a good thing to do.
An informative meeting. A lot went on there. I would have liked to have seen someone. I believe that it's important. I believe that it needs to be a priority. And I've heard a lot of discussion here tonight, a couple of points that I would like to touch upon. There was, in fact, a letter from Chief Doug Hamp to Oceano concerning previous discussions. And I know that this is so because I possess a copy of that letter. I think that with regard to getting there, this, again, is a big priority for some of us in the community. We would like to see this shared resources effort bring fruit. Some of us were disappointed that we missed the last round. I would like us not to miss this round based upon what I heard and based upon seeing the questionnaire. There were things discussed at the meeting that I think would have been valuable to your board, certainly. And I hope that what I haven't heard tonight I will hear, and that is assurance that we will have representation, whatever it takes, that we will have representation at all future meetings that discuss this. We have a fully staffed fire department now. We can have representation there, and I would hope that it would be representation that is there in a spirit of willingness, and that we will be part of any cooperative effort that may come from this effort. So thank you for this discussion.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? It brings us to item 14, consideration of the warrants.
We need to table that.
Yeah, I understand that we've not been able to prepare warrants this evening, so with the board's concurrence, I'd like to table that item. Item 15 is written communications. Are there any written communications?
No.
None? That brings us to the end of the agenda. So
moved.
We're moved to adjourn. Thank you.